And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, Romans chapter 2, verse 25 makes it clear that circumcision has a value if there's a serious commitment to keep the law and in an earnest attempt to honor God. However, let's be real. The sign of circumcision, which clearly illustrates too much flesh, is accessed by many, but useless to many as well. It's the same as claiming that a person is a Christian but doesn't know Jesus. However, they visit one of his many houses at least twice a year. Get it? Next, a true Jewish person is one who is defined as having their heart right with God. A true Jewish person with a true circumcision is not bound to the male gender. True circumcision in the eyes of God is one that the Holy Spirit performs on a faithful believer's heart. And by the way, the mother is not the key in the pedigree. Ask Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rabbis should read their Bible. And finally, and then the Apostle Paul pushes a new reality on the saints. Do you want to know if we are spiritually circumcised? The answer is simple. When we, as followers of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are genuine, we seek to please the Lord God Almighty and not to seek people and not to please people and not to exalt people. We seek to exalt the Lord alone. So, are we people pleasers?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. Kind of simple. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So if you're in San Diego right now, it's 1203. If you're in Denver, it's 103. If you're in Dallas, it's 203. If you're in Detroit, it's 303. You can text us live right now during the show if you want to. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us right now, right this second. You can call us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, my friend. I know we were just getting over the weekend and getting into the middle part of this week, but just curious if you had anything special to eat over the last couple days, or do we stick with the very faithful and true pizza lines?
I haven't had pizza in a little bit.
What did
I have yesterday? I'm blanking right now.
We try to stay on our diet, but then we always give ourselves like these cheat little opportunity kind of cheat dingy here.
That's so, right. I just remember what I had. I had chili. Yeah.
You had chili. Now, that's funny. Now, why that's funny is Noel found an ice dessert that's got a sweetness to it with chili, like a chili flavor in it. She found that in her store. I've never had that before, and it was delicious.
Was it?
Like it's an iced chili, like a sweet chili.
Not too long ago when we were doing history, it was chili day. I believe so. Maybe last week.
Yep. No, did that influence you? No.
So I was close. I was a little bit late, but I did celebrate.
All right. Good for you. Here's the bottom line, folks. The bottom line is we want you to be able to reach out to us if you've got a prayer request, a praise report, or if you got something going on, you got a question. Here's the whole thing. The whole thing is, look, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's kind of goofy out there. Okay? And if some people are like, this is the worst it's ever been, I don't know. It's bad. And here's the bottom line of that. So people are like mad at one another. Everybody's mad at each other. Half the country's over there. Half the country's over there. A fourth of the country's over there. Everybody's, hey. We are Bible-believing, born-again Christians. We have one Heavenly Father. Jesus said when you pray, say, Our Father. We are blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. And together we will stand firm in our faith, gloriously awaiting the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what sustains us. That is what pushes us forward. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And it's just like, we're going to that. So in the meantime, let's strengthen one another. Let's bless one another. Let's encourage one another. Bottom line to that is if you've got a prayer request, bring it. We'll pray about it. If you've got a praise report, share it. It will bless people. If you got something that's on your mind that's really something the Lord showed you, share it. That's fun. That's good. If you have a joke that's better than mine, that's not hard. My jokes aren't that good. We're going to do a little bit of history. Before we do that, we're going to do our next Bible trivia question. Here it is. The book of Amos in the Old Testament. How many chapters are in the book of Amos? 5, 7, or 9? Yes, you have to look it up. Amos, how many chapters? 5, 7, or 9 chapters in the book of Amos? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You know, so text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So the question is, how many chapters in the book of Amos? Are there 5, 7, or 9? And yes, I want you to look it up, because guess what? 6 months from now, you will remember it. And that's a good thing. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
214-005839.
One more time.
214-005-829.
You're killing me here. You know that, right?
Okay. All right. The answer.
I knew it immediately was you. I just want you to know that.
I know. That's why I was messing.
Speak at the end of the beep. Beep. All right, how many chapters in Amos? 5, 7, or 9?
9.
That is correct from a no! You are so right. There are nine chapters in the book of Amos. That is correct, sir. So, hey, yesterday's thing that you shared, even though didn't have a lot of time for it, is really good. A lot of people are really blessed by that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, good.
And so that's praise important God. For you to know. It's important for you to understand that sometimes we don't have the time because we have a hard break or something. But what you said was important, and that you were praying for people who were going through different kinds of abuse that really ministered to people. So that's a really good thing. See?
Yeah, I mean, that was totally God just put that in my heart, and I'm committing.
Yeah.
I committed, and I'm going to pray for this whole month.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good thing. People really need that.
Hey, I think I have a better joke than you today.
Okay, well, that's not hard to have a better joke than me. That's All right,
Which woman in the Bible was the greatest businessman?
Which woman in the Bible was the greatest businesswoman?
Yeah. Yes.
Which woman was it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm giving you the floor.
Pharaoh's daughter, because she went to the bank of Nile and pulled out the prophet.
And pulled out a prophet? There you go! Went to the bank.
And the other one is the shortest one, is why Christianity is so funny religion.
Why
because
is it?
All the other religions say do, 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 and while Christianity say dun, dun, dun.
See, that's a good joke. See, I like that one. That was a good one. See, the other one I didn't hear. That was a good one.
Okay, now I have a serious theological question or doctrinal question.
Okay. It's not eschatology, is it? No, go ahead.
maybe it might relate to it.
Okay, go
but
ahead.
But who was the founder of dispensationalism doctrine?
Oh, it's funny because it's a very big, big question. Okay, and why I say that is because what made dispensationalism most popular was the Scofield Bible. Okay, that's what made it most popular. That's not necessarily the origins, but the Scofield Study Bible was what took it to a new planet or to a new place. So some people trace that back to the early church fathers. Some people trace that back to even pre-Christian authors kind of mentality. And to be honest, if I gave you an answer, I'd be speaking more out of assumption than absolute fact. But I do know
you'd be writing a doctorate dissertation.
Yeah. but I do know for a fact that it was the Scofield Bible that made dispensationalism as popular as it was. And dispensationalism means that God deals differently in different seasons with different people, so to speak. Which is the problem with part of it is that what they say is, well, this dispensation went to this point, this went to this point, this went to this point. The problem with that is that Noah had a dispensation during his time, and we in our time are still seeing the dispensational covenant of that moment because we still see rainbows. So that timing didn't come to an end. Typically, dispensationalism says everything's in a sequence of events, and so that was one group of dispensation, the way that God dealt with Noah. But that's not entirely true, because we still see the covenant that was made with Noah. That covenant's not over.
So what was the role of Nelson Darby in it?
Well, big. I mean, that's you've got Darby, you've got different people that were all a part of it. And you should recognize that some theologies were built off people that were wonderful and some theologies were built off people that weren't brilliant. But that's not abnormal either, because many of the doctrines of the church came out from people that were just brilliant and not as brilliant. So it's just a matter of whether it's sound reasoning and you can follow it all the way through. So I know certain people are dispensationalists. I'm a manifold millennialist, so I don't see dispensationalism the same way. But let me just say this. God does deal with people in different time frames in different ways. We know that's a fact because you have the old covenant and the new covenant. That's not really difficult to understand that there's a different approach. God is not different, just the covenant itself is different. There's nothing weird or bad about that, and it should not have an issue of fellowship. But some people who were involved in it were really more scholarly than others. And some people just preached it better. And that's just the truth.
And so, by the way, do you have any good book to recommend on that topic or any other resources?
Yeah, I would tell you to read The Millennial Maze by Stanley Grenz.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. Because he dives into that, and then that approach – from the dispensational approach and then a less dispensational approach and a non-dispensational approach are all applied to the millennium.
Oh, okay.
So it's Grenz, G-R-E-N-Z.
Thank you so very much,
yeah, that's what
David.
I do. I'm a resource.
Yes, you are a doctor.
Well, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning.
Hey, by the way, I saw your twin brother at my church last Saturday.
Dr. Phil. Oh, Dr. Phil. He's got more hair than I do. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave
right.
that there.
Have a blessed day, brother.
All right. Take care, my bro. All right. We're going to do our DNA and then exit. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. why should we do it daily? Why should it? Do you think that breathing daily is good? What do you think?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then spending time with the Lord daily, that's good too. Okay? Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I promise you, that one's increasing. I promise. I promise, promise, promise. They're going to try and make you ashamed of the word of God. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready.
To serve.
Are you ready to serve the Lord right now? That's the question. Because you should be. We should all be ready to serve, right? Okay. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit, whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half, and his eyes are red, and he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770. KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Now, we're going to do a trivia question, going to be a little more challenging. So I want you to be prepared for it, okay? I'm telling everybody ahead of time, be prepared. I want you to be prepared. Get ready, okay? You ready? Okay. Here, true or false? The disciples, after Jesus resurrected, still doubted in their hearts that Jesus resurrected after seeing him. Is that true or false? Your answer, by the way, in Luke chapter 24. You really want to look at verse 36, 37, and 38. True or false? The disciples, after the resurrection, after they saw Jesus, still doubted. Still had doubts. True or false? Your reference point, Luke chapter 24, verse 36, 37, and 38. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You'd also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So, could it be true, or is it false, that after Jesus resurrected and the disciples saw him, they still had doubts in their heart? That's the question that we're asking. Somebody on the line for us? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Not doing bad. I got my grandson. I got seven grandkids. Number two in the grandchildren list. It's his birthday today. So we're gonna say, give him a little present or two and say hi to him after we do our voting, and then just see how it goes from there, and see if my kid's going to actually pay for dinner or not. That'll be interesting. Anyway, I go prepared. Might be a nice way to say that. But thank you for asking. All right, here we go. All right, now, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Is it true or false that still some of them doubted in their hearts? Is that true or false?
I believe that's true.
You're correct, Amigo! In fact, let me just read it. Now, when they said these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." They were terrified, frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" So even after seeing him, they were like, "Is that really you?" It shouldn't surprise us that sometimes the Lord does something if we go, "Is it really you?"
No doubt.
Excellent job, Deborah. Excellent, phenomenal
job. All
right.
All right, thank you, and I hope y'all have a good afternoon.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Great job. Okay. Let's get into this text. I think you'll find some of this fascinating. I hope you do anyway, one way or another. Here we are in Romans chapter 2, verse 25. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision is worth something only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. If the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God give them all the rights and honors of being his own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will be much better off than you Jews who are circumcised and know so much about God's law, but don't obey it. Here it is in kind of a nutshell. So as Paul is going through his argument, remember what we're doing. We're in chapter 2, chapter 1, 2, and part of chapter 3, all defining everybody and the whole planet. Sin. Okay, and that's the bad news. And now we get into chapter 3, you can come into some better news, but it's an interesting point that Paul makes. He's like, look, he goes, just because you were circumcised does not mean you are keeping the law and doing the right things to honor the Lord. So let me just use that same analogy in every other application. Just because you visit church twice a year doesn't make you any more a Christian than shaking a donkey's tail makes you a farmer. Just because you attend church and you go there and twice a year or every so often, or even if you've been baptized but then you never go again, or any of those other things, doesn't make you any more a Christian than walking through a garage makes you a car. It's not the way it goes. Romans 2:22 makes it clear that circumcision has a value if there's a serious commitment to keep the law, if that's the intent and that was the purpose, and it's an earnest attempt to honor God. But let's at least be real. there's a lot of people that are circumcised that means absolutely nothing. There's Jewish people who are circumcised. There's not Jewish people who are circumcised. It doesn't mean anything. That's the same thing as saying, well, I'm a Christian. Do you know who Jesus is? No. Okay, well, then you're not a Christian. It's just as simple as it can be. And visiting the house of God twice a year, whether you're Jewish for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or whether you're a Christian for Christmas and Easter, does not make you a Christian. Doesn't do it. And the whole premise here is that just because there's some kind of background, we've talked about this before, the pedigree does not guarantee the results. It's in one of the fills that we do, which wouldn't even surprise me if that's the fill that came up. But it's just like, you know, look, there's plenty of murders come out of Christian families. Plenty of murders come out of different things. One thing has nothing to do with the other. The person has to make a decision. You got to be obedient to the law. You got to do what God says. God is not impressed when you say, I'm a believer, and do nothing that demonstrates you're a believer. I mean, the most, I think, okay, for me, so this is me. I'm not going to put this on you, but I think it's dramatic. This is just how I think. But one of the most telling things is when they go around saying, well, they're going to arrest people that are Christians. Everybody who's a Christian is going to get arrested. Do you have anything to worry about? Well, if you don't live your life as a Christian, no. You won't have anything to worry about. But see, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. Because if they're arresting Christians, you better hope you're arrested because they're supposed to be arresting Christians. But that means that you're not coming off as a Christian. That's not good. That's the point. And that's the point that Paul's making. It's like you can't just say I am because I went here, I did this, I went to Christian school, Christian private school. I think Christian private school is phenomenal. If it works, and by that I mean it doesn't work for everybody. I think everybody knows that. Some people become just on fire Christians after their whole Christian education, way past it. Some people never go to Christian school and become absolute crazy Christians. They're just on fire for the Lord, right? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing weird about that. You guys heard of Nicky Cruz. I mean, the guy was a gang member. He got saved. He led thousands of people to Christ on the streets. That's cool. Get that? That's cool. It's got nothing to do with that part of it. The person has to obey. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. Now, if you're raised in a Christian home and Christian values are taught to you, will you have a better opportunity to have access to that? Of course. But that doesn't mean that those people are guaranteed to get saved or to stay in some kind of faith. And there's no guarantee in a person's decision like that. That's not how it functions. We talked about this in another fill, in a different fill. Hey, just because you're born a Christian home doesn't guarantee you're a Christian. You have to make a decision. Christians aren't born. They're decisioned. You have to make a decision. To follow, to yield, to surrender, to submit, period. People don't get saved. Their salvation is not because of you. All salvation is because of Jesus, and it needs to be accessed, period. That's very important to understand, okay? And that really weird teaching that went around the church for a while in the 80s, where if you believe, then your whole household is saved because of what it says in Acts. It's not even close. It's just not even in the ballpark. That whole family for the jailer, they all got baptized. They were all saved. Okay, got that? That's a big difference. All right, take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. You guys like that one, huh? I like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Where you cannot possibly believe that I just said that wouldn't surprise me if this fill came right on top of this, and that sure enough was the exact fill.
I think Jennifer went to the future or something.
There is no...
And then put in the fill.
I just said all that. That's just... See, maybe that's for me more than for other people. Again, yeah, that's what I wanted you to teach. Because that there's something there that people need to hear. Okay, I don't know. That's just... See, you guys don't get it. See, we're sitting there going, no way. No way. See, you got to be in the room to really... You got to read the room. Your trivia question: which of the seven churches in the book of Revelation did Jesus say, I stand at the door and knock? Revelation chapter 3. That's all I can give you. You got to look at it. You have to look. Which church did he say, behold, I stand at the door and knock? Which church was that that Jesus said that to? It is in Revelation chapter 3, so you don't have a lot to look up. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, remind you two things. Don't forget the books are available. They're newly revised books if you've never gotten it. We're working on the audiobook if you want to wait for that. There is a place to give. There is a place for praise and prayer requests and praise reports and other stuff, too. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org!
I still say that's the mystery sound, right? I mean, it's just like, right? It's just, okay. Just gonna let it go for right now. moving on.
You know which one we haven't heard in a while was the Pink Panther.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Okay. Which church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 now, which church did Jesus say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"? So he said that to a particular church in Revelation chapter 3. Which church did he say that to, if you think you know? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So in Revelation 3, there's a couple of churches Jesus talked to. One of them, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Which church was that? In the meantime, we will do our history.
Let's go live in the past.
Okay, so today, there's a couple things on today. Now, one of these I'm not positive on, so I'm going to kind of be careful on it. I thought I understood it was supposed to be World Day of Prayer. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it isn't, it's still a good day for prayer, so it doesn't matter, right? So that part doesn't matter. It's National Cheese Doodle Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do like cheese.
Yeah. Cheese doodle. See, that means somebody's painting with cheese. That's all I can think. I'm sure that's not it, but that's all I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. National Salesperson Day. Now, I know some people who are salespeople are a little bit more like, you know, rabid dogs and stuff, but not everybody's like that. There's many great, great salespeople. Let's at least be honest about that. And then it's National Day of Unplugging, and that means a little less electronics and a little more calm. You know, that's just not a bad idea. It's a wonderful idea. 1872, on this day, the air brake is patented by George Westinghouse. The air brake. Wow, that's just weird. And then 1960, Elvis Presley gets out of the Army. I just don't know why that's an event. He got out of the Army. So, okay, anyway, I got nothing.
Can you do an Elvis impression?
Thank you very much. No, I can't do one. I could if I was into it, but it's hard to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't do it either. I'm not even going to try.
I can't do the lip thing. I can't do any of that. So it's Elvis got out of the Army Day. That's what it is. That's all I got. Okay. Doing the best I can. Okay. Lewis, somebody that we pray for and somebody listens to the show, he's a salesperson. El does sales. People do sales. See, there's really, really good people. There's only a couple that are that read the book The Closer and that are really mean. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. Trivia and then back to the teaching. Okay. Your trivia question. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says to one of the churches, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, I'm very aware that that, by the way, is used in a altar call. But Jesus said it to a church. I think that's a good thing to remember. Which church is it? If you think you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go. Here's what it says. We just picked it up from verse 27. In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will be much better off than you Jews who are circumcised and know so much about God's law but don't obey it. For you are not a Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the Jewish ceremony of circumcision. No. A true Jewish person is one whose heart is right with God. Stop. There it is. The reason that Christians are considered biblically to be truly Jewish is because true Bible-believing, born-again Christians have a desire to be right with God like Abraham. And in Galatians 3, and in Galatians 4, and Galatians 5, and Romans 4, and Romans 5, everything is referenced back to Abraham being right with God. Number one, prior to his circumcision, hello, But because he believed God and wanted to follow God and honor God, that's what God liked. And so what happens, and we've already talked about it, so I'm not going to hash it again, and there are people, and I understand there are people of the Jewish Defamation League that are like, no, 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 hey, I was born and raised Jewish, went to private Hebrew school, and you guys at the Jewish Defamation League are wrong. That's all. You're not God. That's the key. In fact, the Old Testament makes it clear that God is pleased with people who operate in faith. Hey, guess what? That's what the New Testament says too. Because faith is the vehicle that God has chosen for you and I to engage with God in. You think, well, what do you mean? When is the last time that God came down in an angelic form, did a miracle in front of you, and then told you what to do, and then left, and then in your next situation did it again, your next situation did it again, next situation did it again, next situation did it again? That doesn't happen. I mean, even the father of Jesus only had three dreams that had an angel in it. I mean, come on. So we operate by faith. And by the way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And by the way, Abraham was called a friend of God because he had faith. And by the way, when you're in your circumstance and you're beating yourself up or banging your head against the wall, if we tried faith, we would do better with God. In fact, a large portion of the rebukes that Jesus gave his own disciples is, why are you so filled with doubt? Why don't you believe? And so we go through these circumstances, we're trying to get a handle out, we're trying to understand, and most people, I understand what they're doing. They're applying it to the economy, they're applying it to the government, to the country, they're applying it to politics and all that, but we got to be applying it to our specific personal life before we go anywhere else with this. And we got to be people that actually believe that God has our best interests in mind. And that we pray and we believe. And that's the kind of person that pleases God. A true Jewish person is a person whose heart is right with God. The next verse, the true circumcision is not the cutting off of the body, but a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. It's how we engage with God. That's the key. And you think, well, I know, but he gave him the circumcision as the covenant maker. I know, but just like everything else man has touched and ruined over time, man took that covenant and kind of blew that apart because, you know, then people who were circumcised became the worst God haters ever. And just as a point of reference, I thought I'd bring this up because a lot of people don't realize this, but if you've ever read Leviticus and you've just kind of jumped in there, I don't know, in verse 26 when it talks about obedience and disobedience, you know that there are 13 verses for those who are obedient to the Lord in Leviticus 26, but there's 26 verses for those who are disobedient to the Lord, who will get cursed. 2-to-1 ratio. God wants you to obey, but not obeying is just like even worse in the sense of that's where you're going to get it. The Lord requires us to follow hard after him and hunger for him and thirst for him. Do what God says to do because you love and want to honor the Lord. You have a heart that is desirous to be right with God. That is what God is looking for in his people, his chosen people. That's just the way it is. Will there be Jews and Gentiles in heaven? Yes. And all of them will have a heart for God. Get it? All right. All right, the trivia question. Which church did Jesus say, behold, I stand at the door and knock? Which church in Revelation chapter 3? And the answer is Laodicea. The lukewarm church is the one that heard Jesus say, I stand at the door and knock. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I cannot wait, though. I have to do this particular sound. We might interrupt while I'm doing the teaching, but I got to do the sound because it is time for Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Unlock your brains out of your head, Annie.
I can't believe I'm allowed to do that. I love that. Anyhow, Bible Baloney Beatdown has to do with the kingdom of God. So there are people that go, well, you know, in Scripture, there's so many contradictions. Like, what about when Jesus said, if you're for me, then you're not against me. If you're against me, you're not for me. And they kind of mix it all up and so on and so forth. Let me just help out and just kind of set the record straight, keeping it simple. There are two. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. There are two. Okay. Watch. Somewhere between one and three. There are two. Okay, here you go. One more time. There are two kingdoms. I'm gonna blow your mind when I say this. There is the kingdom of God. Right? Everybody would agree. Okay, got it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And then there is any other attempted kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's any other attempted kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of men, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's the kingdom of God and all the other ones, okay? And they're all just wrapped up into one thing. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdoms that are not the kingdom of God. That's all we got. That's all it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 50. John responded, Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Because he does not follow us. Verse 50, don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. Keeping this in context, the person is not opposed, this is very important, the person is not opposed, but for the kingdom of God. He's not neutral. He's a kingdom advancer. He's somebody that's advancing the kingdom, casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John is like, well, he's not one of us. Okay, that's a whole separate sermon, a whole separate issue, which I'm sure your pastor has taught on many times. And that is the last thing that you need are a whole bunch of more people just like you or just like me. We need people to be like Jesus. And they don't need to follow us exactly. They need to follow Jesus. And I don't want to reproduce 1,000 me's. I want people reproducing being Jesus. Because I'm not going to do anything, but people who are more like Jesus, they make a difference. And in context, this person was advancing the kingdom by driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a kingdom advancer.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. By the way, don't forget to be praying for Jacob, Jennifer, and Don. They can always use your prayer. It's a team effort up here. We have our next trivia question. I've never, ever asked this question before. That's pretty good considering I've probably asked about 20,000 trivia questions. That's a pretty big one right there. Okay. Which two body parts express their feeling inferior to the other body parts when Paul is talking about the body of Christ? Which two body parts express an inferior position to other body parts when Paul makes reference to the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 and 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Which two body parts come off in Paul's illustration as the inferior body parts? Which two body parts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. That's a really good question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. And we have a very brief joke coming. Three one-liners. Ready? All right, here's the first one. All right, here you go. Bobby talking to John. Bobby, I must have sneezed 50 times today. Do you think there's something in the air? John, yes, your germs. Hey, 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 All right. The last one's better, but here's this next one. Did you hear what happened to the optometrist? He fell into his lens grinder and made a spectacle of himself.
Eh, what do you want from me? I'm not a comedy writer.
There you go. Here's the last one. What is the best time to make a dentist appointment? What's the best time to make a dentist appointment? Tooth hurty.
You serious, Clark?
Okay. That's the best that's going to get. Tooth hurty.
They got worse as they went.
Yes, I know that's true. Okay, which two body parts expressed an inferiority position as Paul was explaining the different body parts in the body of Christ? The answer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. See? So which one are expressing inferior? You got to watch that. Okay. All right, if you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. This last portion is just going to be me having fun talking about it because you can't beat this. This is just okay. So we already went through this. Verse 28 in Romans 2, for you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you've gone through the Jewish ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not the cutting off of the body, but a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. Whoever has that kind of change seeks praise from God and not from people. Oh, boy. You want to know if you're spiritually circumcised? The answer is simple. When we follow the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we seek to please God Almighty and not people. Are we people pleasers? That's what defines. That gives you your own position right now. And just don't say, well, I'm trying to please my family. You're not listening. Well, I'm trying to please my mom and dad. You're not listening. Well, I'm trying to please my children. Not listening. Trying to please my spouse. Not listening. Are you living to please the Lord? First and foremost. People who seek to please other people have crucified Jesus Christ in the process. That's why that don't work. When the leaders recognized that people were getting tossed out of the temple because they acknowledged Jesus Christ, and because they feared the praise of the people and wanted to stay in the temple, they denied. You say, you cannot do that. You live for God first. Remember the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second commandment is to love one another as you love yourself. The first is before second, and they are not the same. The first three commandments are totally geared towards God in the Ten Commandments. The fourth one is for yourself, not for God. The last six are for other people. First three go to God. It's not a question. It's not a question. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than these, you can't be my follower. That's it. There's no, no, you cannot wiggle out. Wrong. There is no wiggle out. I'm trying to make this as clear as can be. If you are a people pleaser, you're in trouble. Does that mean that everybody's flawless in this? No, come on. But the goal here, the mindset, the approach that we should be taking is, look, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do the best I can before the Lord first. And then let everything and anything else line up. Cool. But to him first. Because even if it's your spouse, when you die, you won't face your spouse for judgment. You'll face God. You won't face your parents. You won't face your kids. You'll face God. See that diff right there? To me, that makes a substantial difference. So what we want to do is we don't want to be, and people say, no, the only way you can please God is to please people. That is absolutely a lie. In fact, a friend of the world is an enemy of God. This is like, these people, they don't know what it says. Don't pay attention to people that try to teach that have no relationship with Jesus Christ. That's just goofy. Okay? They're offering you nothing. No. If you are truly trying to follow the Lord, and I'm not saying you're doing it perfect, so don't get weird on me, but you're just genuinely trying to do it, one of the ways that you can understand your position or your progress is to understand that if the Spirit of God has touched you and you are trying to please God, then you seek the praise from God and not from people. I don't believe I can say that any clearer. I might be able to, but I don't think so. And what's amazing is each one of us who are Christians know that that's correct. You just know. That's right. Got to do it that way. That's how you do it. Okay? All right. Now, I want to go back to the trivia question because I think some people missed or maybe missed what I said, so I'm going to say it again. Which two body parts expressed being inferior to the other body parts using Paul's illustration that he gave in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 15 and 16? Here's what he said. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. So the foot is inferior to the hand. And then he says, and if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. So the foot and the ear were the two inferior body parts that Paul made reference to. The foot was inferior to the hand, the ear to the eye. That's what I was looking for. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break, and we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.